It's Kent Biz Connect, the bi-weekly business radio show that talks about opportunities for businesses in Kent to do business, and welcomes a guest into the studio as well. So, Brian, who have we got with us this week?
Yeah, we do have a guest. We have the wonderful and infamous Linda Cloke with us today from a number of things, but the hat she's wearing today is We Do Social Media.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Linda.
Hiya.
Linda, welcome to the studio. I know you're quite familiar with it because you actually run your own show as well, don't you, I believe?
Yes, that's right. My show is this afternoon at 7 o'clock, well, this evening.
And what show is that? What's it called?
It's Dating and Relationships. So it's hashtag click show and it's all about relationships.
Oh, fantastic. Good. And Brian, I know you're going to be co-hosting that as well.
I was just going to interject and say that. That's a first for me. I will be co-hosting that.
Good,
tonight.
Good.
And I'm looking forward to it, actually, because although people have said to me, are you the best person to be doing that? And namely, my other half was the first one to say it, and I know why she said it. However, I think there is a strong synergy. It's all about relationships, isn't it? So we're talking relationships, and with my BBN hat on, very strong on relationships.
Isn't everything in life all about relationships?
Absolutely. Communication and relationships.
Life is a journey and it's all about the people you meet on that journey, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
So I like relationships.
Good. Mm. Right. So, Brian, what are we actually here to do on this show today? What's the whole point of Kent Biz Connect?
Well, number of things. We talk about news that's going to affect Kent businesses and the people within it. However, we're famously light on it today, I'm pleased to say, because the last few weeks and even months, it's been dominated by Brexit, traffic and a little bit of snow. So we're not going to, that's the last time we're going to mention any of that.
Good.
So we've got a shed load of events coming up over the next couple
of
weeks.
We have, haven't we?
So we're going to dedicate most of the show to those today, and of course to Linda, because we could let her speak for hours on what she's doing and what she does do, and social media. So we're probably going to go a little bit more in depth than we usually do on social media today, because it's very, very important.
Right. Okay. So, Linda, we're going to dedicate the second half of the show from about 1:30 entirely to you.
Wow. Thank you.
To tell us all about social media and hopefully give us some fantastic tips. The first part of the show, Brian, we're going to rattle through some events, aren't we, that's happening. So
we can do that, Martin.
Things that people might like to get themselves along to, whether it be networking or workshops or whatever. So can I start, Brian?
You can start, Martin.
With, I don't know how many people out there are aware of a grant funding program called Southeast Business Boost. But this is basically about £700,000 worth of grant funding in Kent, available for, in particular, small businesses. And on Wednesday, the 6th of February, at the Chatham Innovation Centre, Rachel Bennett from Kent County Council is going to be there to answer any questions that you may have as a business if you're planning on investing any money into your business this year, because you may actually be able to qualify for 30% of that investment in the form of a Southeast Business Boost grant. So that's 9 till 2 p.m. This Wednesday, the 6th of February, at the Chatham Innovation Centre. Get yourselves along to that and see if your business is eligible. If you can't get along to that, you can email Rachel at rachel.bennett@kent.gov.uk. Brian.
There's a number of workshops coming up. First one that springs to light is GDPR. That's reared its head again, isn't it?
Oh, never really gone away, but yeah, I wonder how many people have actually done the due diligence on that.
Yeah, I'm probably one of those. It never arrived or gone away in my office, but I do accept it. Appreciate it, but GDPR is the start of a long journey of compliance. So how is your journey progressing? Fair question, as you just touched on. So Simon Morgan, a good friend of ours, is initiating a workshop on Tuesday the 26th of Feb. So that will be talking about how's your journey in GDPR compliance.
Fantastic. Good. And that's a practical kind of hands-on learning workshop as opposed to a conversation about what is GDPR, I'm assuming. So,
Workshop. Incidentally, like all of these that we're going to talk about, there's a little business called Supply My Business that you might know something about. And,
right.
On their website, people can shortcut and go onto that website and actually find out all the details about these events.
Okay, so let's not go into too much detail now. If you want more information, just have a flick on the community page. Fine.
Mm.
A good friend of ours, Brian, Tracy Westall.
Ah, from Peculiar.
Yes, Peculiar. Or Pecunia.
That's the one.
Pecunia, at Pecunia 2016 on the Twitter. In fact, we were with Tracy on, when was it, Thursday night in Maidstone.
Ah, yeah, at the Metrobank FSB event.
Metrobank FSB networking, weren't we? FSB Connect.
She did the 10-minute talk there.
All about the importance of credit control in your business. So, getting paid, as we were discussing before we came on air, is notoriously difficult at the best of times. But obviously it's a lot harder if you're not actually asking your customers to pay you. Mm. And Tracy is running a workshop called Credit Control for SMEs. It's not really a workshop, it's more of a training day. It's on Tuesday the 19th of March. It's from 9:30 to 4:30 in Chatham. And what will it cover? So everything you need to know, basically, about credit management in your business. Again, as Brian said, all the information for that is in the community section of Supply My Business. There's an Eventbrite booking link there as well. I went to one of Tracy's workshops just before Christmas, actually, at the historic dockyard in Chatham as well, and it was very worthwhile. So I would advise, get yourselves along to that. It could well save you a fortune in the long term.
That will cover everything, I'm sure, Martin. 8 hours of credit control. That's
a big chunk, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. It will look at everything. There's a mentioned FSB there. Mm. There's the FSB networking breakfast in Tunbridge coming up. So that's Thursday, the 21st of February, 8 a.m.
And that's at Judean's Rugby Club, I think, in Tunbridge as well. So, yeah, I know they had a real ale festival on this weekend, I think, because I saw my local brewery, Gads, advertising the fact that they were going to be there. So I bet they, with the England rugby game on as well on Saturday, I bet they had a cracking day stroke evening.
Judeans, is that like the People's Republic of Judea? What particular Monty Python film was that from? Similar outcome, I would suggest.
I think it might be spelt similarly, yeah, absolutely. Linda, why don't we bring you in here? Now, I notice you're busy sort of typing away on your mobile device there, no doubt tweeting and
Facebook, actually.
Facebook, all things social media. Now, I know you've got some workshops coming up as well, so why don't you... Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about who you are in that context, because we spoke about your kind of your dating show at the start of our show. So tell us all about We Do Social Media and tell us about the kind of the joint workshops you've got coming up.
Okay, so We Do Social Media was launched in 2013, and we launched it to basically do basic social media management for companies that knew nothing about it. Because a lot of companies don't see the value of social media. So we thought, well, we'll just help them just post, really, because it's important just to have a presence on social media. I saw a post the other day that basically said, why not take advantage of the, you know, one of the most important things to hit us this century, which is really social media. It gives businesses the opportunity to give their company exposure in a way that we never had before. We could be up there with the big boys, Virgin, Coca-Cola, all of them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of businesses don't see the opportunity. So we established ourselves to help them get the opportunity.
And obviously you've kind of evolved into training. So let's talk, because we're going to come on to talk in detail about all of that in the second part of the show. But tell us about some training workshops that you've got coming up and in the near future.
Okay, well, one thing when I learned about social media that I found was that it's very difficult to go onto every social media platform and try and take in the ways. They're all quite similar, but they all work in different ways. And also a way that's evolved is that people now use them as search engines. So it's really important to make sure that you know what you're doing on them and know how to be found. So therefore, we've put a month in between each workshop. So it's a series of six workshops. It's taken in the four, what we would call main platforms, which is the first one is the 19th of February, which is LinkedIn, and that's optimizing your profile. The second one is the 19th of March, and that's Instagram, which is, you know, a lot of people buy from Instagram, so it really is good for retail. Then the 16th of April is leveraging your profile on Twitter, and the 21st of May is getting noticed on Facebook, and then the 18th of June is creating social media content. A lot of people struggle with what content to use, and then July the 16th is putting together a social media strategy. So basically the plan is for Sonia and I to go through each platform, give people a month to just get used to using it, get used to the different little intricacies of each platform. And then when they come back, we just quickly run through how they worked with the last one. And then we'll be going on to the next platform so that they get time to learn each platform.
So that's Sonia Whittam at Go Media, isn't it? Who's been a guest of ours on the show as well.
Yeah, she has, just a couple of shows ago. And I have to say, I really like that idea of a month in between each one, because we've all been on training courses over the years where they just bombard you with stuff. And you forget most of it by the time you slept on it. But it's a case of use it or lose it, because you've then got a month to kind of go away and virtually practice what you've learned.
That's good.
Master a section at a time and then go back and take another step.
So whilst you can book on for each workshop, what you really want people to do is book on for the full course of six. Is that right?
Yeah, because then it makes them sort of accountable to themselves.
I agree.
If they come back and they haven't learned it, then... you know, they're gonna, if they come back from one and they haven't been using it, then how are they, do they expect to learn the others? Because they're all different in their own way.
So how do we book on then, Linda? How does it all work?
Literally ring me. I'm not on, I haven't put the courses on Eventbrite or anything. We've actually only got three places left now for the first course. So that's ring me on 01622 726 716 or let me know via any of our social media channels.
At We Do Social Media.
It's at We Do S Media on Twitter, but all the others are at We Do Social Media.
And where are you holding the workshops?
Collaborating again with Gary Johnson of racingevents.info. We're using his suite at Brands Hatch to do the first lot. And we'll be doing a second course. We'll be running a second course from July, and that will be out of the Business Terrace, which is where my offices are.
Brilliant. Thank you, Linda. That's fantastic.
And Gary Johnson's suite is number A7. I happen to know that. I've been there loads of times.
Well, thanks, Linda. We'll come on to, I think, some of those individual channels perhaps in a bit more detail in the second half of the show, because I think I saw somebody tweeting yesterday or posting rather on Facebook yesterday that there were some fundamental changes happening in terms of our content on Facebook and how available that is in the kind of the public space moving forwards without us necessarily knowing about it. So maybe we'll come on to talking about some of that, because it did put the frighteners up me somewhat.
Yeah, it's a bit late though now.
Yeah, it's a bit late, yeah. Okay, brilliant. Well, we mentioned Gary there. Gary also runs a networking get-together once a month, doesn't he, Brian?
Yeah, he does.
So tell us about that. When's the next one?
Yeah, it's a little bit different to the others, I find. It's the last Wednesday of every month up at Bridgewood Manor, just off the M2 there at Chatham, Walderslade. So the 27th of February is the next one, always a Wednesday, and that runs from 10:30 to 12:30. I think it's a tenner a time. Coffee, pastries, there's usually a speaker, and usually 30, 40, 50 people even to just catch up with and have a chat with and do a bit of networking. Mm. So it's very relaxed.
Good.
And very informal.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, some mutual friends of ours, Ben Leach and Joe Humphrey from Origin Training.
Ah, the Kent IT Academy launch.
Kent IT Academy launch, exactly that. So this is taking place, the first, the inaugural Academy is taking place on the 27th of February from 7 till 9 in the evening at Buckmore Park. And the subject of that is going to be ransomware, malware attacks, and an overview of Office 365 as well. So this really is for individuals, whether you're running a business or not running a business, who perhaps feel that they need to get a little bit more savvy in terms of, you know, their IT capability on a kind of day-to-day basis. And I think this is particularly kind of relevant at the moment because people like me who are kind of stuck in the dark ages running Windows 7. I know you're a 10 convert already, aren't you? Yeah.
Years ago.
Very, very with it you are. Linda, are you a 10 convert already or are you?
No, I'm still 7.
Right. So there are an awful lot of us out there who are going to have a bit of a shock at the end of this year when
when it doesn't work.
When 7 is no longer being supported. So I think that, you know, that's going to be a really informative session. I think they're going to be happening monthly. So the first one, again, is 27th of Feb, 7 till 9. There is an Eventbrite booking link, Kent IT Academy launch. Or again, as Brian said, just have a look at the community page on Supply My Business. And all the information is in there.
Okay. Our friend Julie Firth at Diagrama Foundation. They've been running a number of first aid training courses, all manner of dates. There's about 6 or 8 different levels of courses with basically hundreds of dates. So not able to run through any of them, to be honest. But they're taking a part in taking place rather in Chatham. And the best thing to do is either again on the Supply My Business website or telephone number. It's free phone number 0800 169 0255. Shane Newcomb can give you details on all of that first aid training.
And I think at Diagrama UK on the Twitter.
Well remembered. Yeah.
The great thing about what Diagrama do in a kind of a first aid training kind of context, I think, is they are obviously a registered charity, so they are primarily there to help support young people, vulnerable young people in the community. And that might be through fostering services, for example, or adoption services. But one of the things that they do on a commercial level is they offer first aid training courses. And the beauty of how they do that is all the money that they generate through that goes straight back into the charity. So it's obviously not for profit. So I think that adds a slight kind of uniqueness to what they do in the marketplace. So well done, you guys. That's fantastic.
Okay. Our friends at McIntyre Hudson.
Adrian Dante.
Good Adrian.
We bumped into him as well, didn't we, on Thursday night?
Yeah, he stuck his head round the door, or through it, very briefly. He's always a man on a mission, always dashing off somewhere else. So, I think we literally caught him flying through. So we know what they do there, but they're running some stuff. It's his corporate recovery team, basically. So pressure on cash flow, high interest payments, defaulting on bills. Is your business underperforming or showing signs of distress? So if you act now. So it's all around that stuff, really. Mm-hmm. So you can email adrian.dante at mmhllp.co.uk or take a look on their website or yours.
Mm-hmm.
And the telephone number 07590 229 384 for full details.
So I think the message that Adrian would like to get across there is that, you know, if you don't put your hand up and ask for help when you know that you know, something isn't quite right in your business, then the chances are those problems are going to fester, and before you know it, it'll be too late to do anything about it.
Well, that's it. Yeah, as they're closing the door or whatever, it is too late.
But, you know, what Adrian can do, if you talk to him early enough, is actually, you know, find a way around those problems that you think might be unsolvable in a very kind of quick and easy way. So, what have you got to lose, really?
Absolutely.
Have a chat with him.
It's probably about time you had a slope off Friday coming up, isn't it?
Well, they've just had one, actually, last Friday. So, it's just been and gone. But there is I think they've just announced the March one. So, we'll talk about that next time round, maybe. Okay. But, again, the FSB are running a networking evening with Jarman Solicitors on Friday the 15th of Feb at 5:30 at their offices in Sittingbourne.
Likes a bit of networking, does Jay?
Jay likes a bit of networking, yeah. It's not the most sociable time to run a networking evening, necessarily, 5:30 on a Friday.
But In Sittingbourne.
But there will be people out there who I know are going to want to be there because it's always a well-attended event. So, FSB networking with Jarman Solicitors, Friday the 15th of Feb. And again, That's on Booking Link, or it's on the community page of Supply My Business. Brian, I think what we might do now, because time is kind of running away with us already, and we definitely want to spend as much time talking to Linda as we possibly can.
Yes, we do.
Why don't we have a little bit of cheesy tunage and see if the listeners can make the connection between the song we're about to play.
Well, let's see if I can as well.
And our guests. So here we go. Talking from Captain Sensible.
He got it right. Yeah, and what group was he lead singer in before that?
Well, he was lead singer in The Damned, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he was.
But I'm not sure he was the original lead. Was he the original lead singer?
I think he was.
Because there was a... wasn't there a Dave Vanian as well? He was lead singer of The Damned at one point, no, but I'm not sure who came first.
To look knowledgeable.
Anyway... Linda's chuckling away. We were all dancing to that, weren't we?
And what film was that from?
Well, you told me. I didn't know, but you educated me. You tell me.
Yeah, that was from South Pacific.
South Pacific.
Wasn't it, Linda?
Yeah. It was, absolutely. Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
You see, that's why I don't remember, because that was definitely before my time.
Well, so before all of our time. but there you go. So some happy talk and... talking happy, and that's what we're going to be doing now with young Linda.
Yeah,
because I guess social media, Linda, is all about having a conversation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
In a nice way.
It's about building relationships.
Right.
And that's what I think a lot of people don't seem to understand, that that's the advantage or the that it's given to people now. That's the advantage it's given to businesses, because we go networking, all of us, on a regular basis. But we can then enhance on that networking with our social media. And Brian's banging on about it all the time at his networking group, BBN. But it is important, and it can make such a massive difference to your credibility, your visibility. And you never know who someone knows.
So I just want to kind of go back to something you said in the beginning. It's about building relationships. So how can you build a relationship with someone through an online platform, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever? What do we actually mean by that? Because, you know, you're not going to go out with these people down the pub and have a drink or a curry, are you? So what
you might, some of them.
Well, you might do if they're local, I
networking
guess.
Networking curries and drinks. But,
so I have been approached on LinkedIn, which is amazing. I said to someone this morning, American men, good looking, with a young son about 7, just avoid them like the plague. But anyway.
So what do we mean by relationships in a business context through a social media platform?
Well, to give you an example, before people use me, obviously I do social media, which could be different for some businesses, but I think it's the same for most. I was checked out. So someone that I introduced to Brian last week, he had checked out my social media and was impressed with everything that he saw that I'd been doing. He doesn't know who my clients are. Nobody knows really who my clients are except for them. So he was checking my social media to see what I was doing on there. And because he was pleased with what I was doing on there, he could see that I was sharing and liking other people's posts, and he could see all of my activity. And he checked the three main platforms that I'm on and looked at them and said, you know, I can see what you're doing and I want you to do ours.
Right.
So that's the power of it. But say somebody isn't a social media person, for example, and they're on and they're looking to build relationships with someone. So say it's a property person, somebody who does a letting agent or something like that. So you go on and you want to let properties for someone you know is a landlord. So what you do is you would go in and you'd share the content that you find interesting, comment on that content, you know, comment positively. And then what you're doing is you're putting yourself in front of them. So that's on something like LinkedIn, on Twitter, as Brian was saying on the way up here. You make a comment about a post that somebody's put up, and Twitter, 300,000 people are joining Twitter every day. I mean, that's a huge number of people. Mm. Makes you wonder, we're going to run out of people, actually.
Mm. Well, that's the sort of thing that people don't get, isn't it? Is that they think, oh, okay, I'll do a tweet or a comment and I'll do them a favour. But they're actually doing themselves a favour at the same
massive
time.
Massive favour.
Because they're putting themselves out there again, and they're giving themselves, every time they retweet or comment, it's them and their business that's getting more and more exposure.
Right.
And I'm particularly keen, you say, about the relationship, obviously, with networking events, and we spoke about it on Friday at BBM Maidstone, is that we like to try and offer a little bit more, really. So the meeting are every 2 weeks. Don't just come along to the meeting, enjoy it, talk to people, run around thrusting business cards up people's noses and then disappear. There's 2 weeks in between the meetings, so you can engage, you can interact with your fellow members and other people in the 2 weeks in between the actual meetings. So I think social media is really, really important for that.
So am I right in thinking that kind of one of your key objectives there must be to position yourself or your business as the voice of authority for all things, whatever it might be? It could be, you know, residential lettings or whatever your business happens to be. Is that the point of it? So that people, you become synonymous with the experts in your field, in your particular industries. Is that the key thing?
That's one of the points of it. I mean, you know, I did the presentation on Friday, and the amount of people who've put on social media across all platforms, well done, Linda, that was a really great presentation. That's fantastic for me. And I've gone on and said thank you to people that have made those comments. But it's been brilliant for me. It's brilliant for the networking group. It's brilliant for so many people. So that's hopefully increased my credibility, because lots of people have said, well done, Linda. The amount of people who got awards. I was doing a private training session this morning with someone, and she said, oh, could I put on there about the award? And I was, absolutely, you definitely want to put that on there, because then all the people that you network with would be going, well done, that's really brilliant, well done to you and your business. And then what they would do is they would then well, by putting well done, they're sharing it with their audience. So that's getting her business known by a lot more people.
It's raising profile all the time, isn't
it?
Yes. So what you're getting at there really is content is king in many ways. So, and I think you were saying at the beginning that a lot of people struggle with thinking about the content and, you know, is somebody actually, you know, going to be interested in that in the first place.
Yeah.
So what would your kind of advice be to people about, you know, someone starting off on a social media platform? It might be they're focused on one particular platform in the beginning. What would your advice be in terms of creating a very simple content strategy that you can have in the top of your head so that, that enables you to actually talk to people in that way?
Twitter, I'll say, is the easiest one to start with. Mm-hmm. It's definitely the easiest one because it can be short, sweet.
Mm.
You can tag in people that you want to. So it's really nice and easy and quick. You can go in and you can just search. For example, we were doing work for a chap who makes signs, or we still do, actually. We've been doing – he's our longest-standing client. So he makes the signs. So what did we talk about? We spoke about the history of signs. Mm. Why were signs first created? Do you know?
No.
Okay, well, signs were first made because a lot of people back in the day couldn't read. So they would say, I'll meet you at the King's Head.
So there's a picture of a
picture
of a
King's Head outside the building.
Nice.
So that was one of the first reasons that signs were created. Mm. And it's gone on from there. You know, you've got billboard signs. We've even got internal signs in offices and on windows. And so we talk about the different types of signs and where you might use them, because a lot of people might want a sign and they might be inside a building and thinking, what can I do inside this building?
Mm-hmm.
So it's showing people how they can use your product, what it is that you supply, mm-hmm. to best, you know, create what they're looking for inside their building and outside their building. Mm.
And I guess it's important to have a continuous presence. You know, it's not just a case of sending out one tweet, for example, about the history of signs, because I guess you're not going to be relevant to me in my business today necessarily, but you might be next week. And so you need to have a continuous
You've got to have continuous content, and it's got to be interesting content. Mm. So it's got to be what you maybe would use a sign for.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone, for example, is looking to promote their beautician's business, they might want a sign outside on the pavement. Right. What are the different pavement signs you can get?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd say about that. You might say about what the different hanging signs you can get. Mm. So some people might like a more classy sign than others. Mm. So they might have one that's coming out on a nice pole and hanging.
Right.
But also you can get the flag ones now that they have outside garages.
Right.
So you've got to think about minimum space. How much space have you got for it? So you might be talking about how much space you've got, whether you're allowed a standing sign outside, because councils a lot of the time won't allow standing signs outside.
That's really valuable content, isn't it? Because I'm not a sign expert. I don't know what's going to be the best sign for my business or what the regulation is regarding pavement signs or what the health and safety considerations are regarding overhead signs.
£2,000 on having the best sign possible and then find out you can't actually use it.
Yeah.
A lot of property people, like people who do block management and, lettings, there's so many new laws and things coming out at the moment. You've got to educate people. A lot of landlords might only have two properties. So they might not be looking into all the things that, you know, need to be known.
Yeah.
So they can go to somebody who is an expert who's doing it all the time, or they can just read their content. Mm. They can just look at their content, read what they're saying, and then somebody who's a landlord who maybe only owns two or three houses has only got to read the content of somebody who's regularly doing their social media and they find out all the things, all the relevant things they need to know for their business.
And I think what's really interesting there for me also is, you know, what you think is boring and kind of run of the mill in terms of, well, you can't put that sign on a pavement, you know, the council wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, it's 2 inches over high.
Yeah, what you think is kind of common knowledge actually isn't common knowledge at all, is it? That's really valuable information for someone else.
So. And it's the same in every business. Mm. Someone else we work for opens bank accounts for people who can't open a bank account.
Mm.
Now, I never knew people couldn't open a bank account. Till I started doing this.
Why is that? Because of credit history, or is it certain types of business?
Well, for example, there's a drug that's just become legal, isn't there? So cannabis has just become legal.
Is it?
So therefore, it's now apparently legal for people to sell cannabis, but that would be considered a really risky business, as would, you know, adult businesses, and some businesses that people, banks don't want to open, multi-level marketing. There's lots of businesses that banks wouldn't be interested in.
I see.
And this gentleman would help you. But the thing is, how I wouldn't know where to find that.
No.
So, you know, social media now is helping him share his knowledge to be able to say to people, look, I can help you. If you haven't got help, I can help you. Yeah.
So you might use the hashtag, I don't know, hashtag
bank account
or something like that. You know?
Absolutely, on Twitter. Yeah. That's exactly what
it is. What's your kind of biggest frustration with small business owners then when it comes to social media? Because I think it's fair to say that not everybody has embraced social media as a kind of as part of their communication strategy. It's free to use. It takes a bit of time in terms of, you know, creating a content strategy and thinking outside the box in terms of what people might be interested in. So what do you think the kind of the barriers are to small business owners adopting it fully and kind of making most, you know, the most use of it that they can?
The main barrier is they don't see the value.
Right. Mm.
So they might have given it a little dabble, you know, done. They struggle with content because they are very knowledgeable in what they do. Mm. All of them, you know, some have been in business 20, 30 years. Mm. You know, you've got a carpet fitter, he knows everything about his business. He knows all the different types of flooring you can have, right, and where you should have this one and why you should have that one there and why you should have that on your stairs.
So they are the expert in their field, but
they don't know how to share it, right, because that's not, so they would still maybe advertise in the normal format, right, mm-hmm, and get somebody else to do it all for them. Because if you advertise in a magazine, somebody else does it for them. But then they look at someone from social media. Still some people out there charging a lot of money for social media. Mm. I mean, it does take a lot of time, but I've heard of people paying a lot of money. I went and saw a client last week. I couldn't believe what they were paying. Mm. And the post had no relevance to his business whatsoever. No. So that's the thing. All you need is a couple of businesses like that. It's like in any business. If you get someone who does it badly, they'll think that everybody does, and that's not good.
I mean, to do it properly, obviously, you should be researching their business and the competition and
absolutely
and what's trending and stuff like that. I mean, one of my bugbears, Lynn, you, I'd love to get your feedback on this, really, but when I look at what people are doing on social media, so let's say on Twitter and LinkedIn to a degree as well, is that you get a follower, and people sometimes bang on about, oh, we've got this many followers this week and we've lost that many unfollowers. So it's automated programs, which I'm kind of a little bit against, really, because I think that's sort of taking away the relationship part of it. I can see why people do it. But then on the other hand, you could have 500,000 followers, but if only two of those are actually doing anything. So I tend to look at the feeds of businesses that want to get involved with BBN and other businesses. And sometimes you can go one or two ways with it. You can look at the feed and all of it is their own content. It's come to this, buy this, offer on that, sale on that. And it's very sales-driven, transactional stuff. The other way, completely the other end of the spectrum from that, is people, all they do is just retweet everybody else's stuff. So I think that you need to be somewhere in the middle of that, personally, because if you haven't got any content of your own, are people going to have any respect for you because you're just retweeting other stuff? Or all you're doing is trying to sell stuff to people and you're not actually helping anyone else and interacting. So what's your views on that, Lynn, as to the balance of what you should be tweeting out and...
You're right, you should have a balance between all three. You do find that some people go on and all they do is on Twitter, they'll just retweet, share content. Well, social media is givers gain, you know, and if you do, then actually that probably is quite good for you, because if you're sharing that content and it's interesting, relevant content to your business, then that's seen as being valuable, even though it's not your content.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still valuable and it's quick and easy for people to do. I think that the salesy bit is probably not a good idea because nobody likes a salesman in the room. Mm. There's nothing worse than going networking and you've got someone going around the room handing out their business card and not listening to what anyone else is saying.
Sure. And same thing, isn't it, really?
It is. And, you know, there are still people around that do that. They come to an event and it's like, oh, sorry to interrupt, there's my card. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's my card for you. And, you know, it happens even now, which you would think it wouldn't happen anymore, but it does happen.
It is, isn't it, really?
It is, but it happens on a regular basis. And yeah. when you're on social media and all you're doing is talking about your business all the time, I'm good because this, I'm good because that,
right.
then, you know, I always think you should shout your own praises. Mm. But I think that to do it all the time without sharing any of your knowledge, and some people are frightened of sharing knowledge because it's like, I don't want to give away my secrets. Right. And there's so many
Even
people doing
it wasn't their secret to begin with.
I'll tell you one of the great things about being in the social media business. I mean, I've been in the dating game, as you both know, for 18 years. Social media, it's so fantastic at collaborating. And all the people I've met that do social media have been amazing people. And they're all willing to share and help.
Yeah.
I haven't met anyone in this industry who isn't willing to share and help, which is, and it makes it an amazing industry to be in. And luckily enough, even the dating industry is coming up now. They're pulling up to the game. And I've got in a couple of weeks, I've got a lady who's just started 6 weeks ago running her own introduction agency coming on my radio show. You know, they're not frightened to collaborate anymore, which is fantastic. Social media people, I think, I don't know whether they've led the way, but in my eyes they have, because they really are brilliant at collaborating.
Sharing is caring.
I mean, nobody likes to be sold to at the end of the day, do they? So if you're a very sort of in your face kind of person, and we all see people like that, as you said earlier, at networking events. You know, they're the first to kind of thrust a business card, you know, at you, and you, as soon as you get home, Frank, the first thing you do with that is you chuck it in the bin, don't you?
Might as well go around and post them indoors.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. I think for me and Brian, I think this kind of echoes some of what you were saying. I mean, I run an online platform, and the whole point of what we do is to try and connect businesses to do business. And the frustration for me, and I think this kind of comes back to your content kind of point and discussion, is that, you know, a lot of what I do is about trying to educate business owners in terms of how they could and should be talking about their business in a kind of promotional context. And as you say, that's not about selling necessarily in the first instance. It's about creating value add that you can then, you know, use as a message to talk to people that are hopefully going to be interested in what you do. But for whatever reason, and I think it's probably because I come from a marketing background, but the vast majority of people that I work with on a day-to-day basis don't. Mm. They're experts at what they do. And I see their business in a completely different way to the way that they see it. And I'm always looking for the call to action and the, you know, the business blog. And, you know, I'll pick up on a completely kind of random aspect of their business and think, my God, wouldn't that be fantastic to be able to talk about that? And they look at me with sort of, you know, vacant eyes. You know, what's he talking about? You know, that's what it's all about. That's what we do.
Marketing.
Yeah, so, you know, for me, that's always a massive frustration in that, you know, a business commits to working with somebody like you, Linda, for example, but then it's very much down to you to extract that kind of that content from them, isn't it, and kind of turn that into a message.
Luckily, we don't necessarily have to. I mean, you know, because of my age, I have been in a lot of industries. So therefore, I sort of know the things to research, even to do with construction, you know, local authorities, hospitality. I've worked in all of those industries. So telecoms. So therefore, because I've worked in all of those industries and in the entertainment industry, you know, I find that it's easy for me to be able to get information for my clients. I mean, I've never been in banking, but I do find the content, you know, I find that I can help people because I've set up businesses. I know sort of what to talk about. But I was speaking to someone the other day who said, it's very frustrating because my website hasn't been built. And I said, well, have you supplied the web developer with all of the content? And they're like, what do you mean? And I said, well, he doesn't know your business. You need to provide the content. So you find it's not just businesses like yours, Martin. It is social media. The main thing for me is photographs. You know, if you're doing social media for someone, we're doing a jeweler at the moment, how amazing would it be to have photographs of all the jewellery he's making, but trying to get those photographs from him and videos of how he does it, you know, because he's got all the old school tools and it's really interesting. I'd love loads of little videos, but...
Is that a service, another service you could even supply, is to go in and photograph?
We tend to say that what we want is we would rather they use a professional. But again, a lot of people don't want to pay the money for a professional photographer. So we would do it. But I'd only do it on my phone.
Mm.
And I don't make any bones about it. It's going to be amazing because I am not an amazing photographer, nor am I an amazing videographer. They're better off getting someone professional in there to do it. But if it's nothing or me, they're better off having me.
Mm.
You know, or doing it themselves. So that's what I would say. You're better off to have something there than nothing, I think. I mean, if it's really bad photograph, you don't want it, you know, but I do know the difference, luckily, between the two.
So not everybody wants a Pete Brescia or a Gary Cooper.
No. I mean, I want to move on slightly now to talk about Facebook, just to end on that point then. So if you are a small business owner out there that kind of perhaps has been sitting on the fence when it comes to social media, you know, what would your kind of parting advice be in terms of, you know, just get out there and do it and kind of dip your toe in the water? What's your kind of, what would be your advice?
When I started doing, we do social media, I was dropped in it from a very high height and I didn't want to do it. And I was dragged into it, kicking and screaming, to be honest, and look at me now. The thing is that you can learn it, but my advice would be to take one platform at a time. Mm-hmm. And even if you ring someone like me and say, this is my business, what platform do you think it's handy for me to be on? As I said, all social media people are brilliant. They don't mind helping. And they would help them and advise them which is the best platform for them.
So book onto your series of workshops, for example.
They could do that. That'd be a fantastic starting point for them.
And you're starting with LinkedIn, is that right?
Starting with LinkedIn, right, and that's on the 19th of February.
Right, so there you
go. Pretty much all business people should be on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. So that's a brilliant starting point. Now, I just want to come on to Facebook because I saw somebody post something on Facebook yesterday about, I think, you know, the terms and conditions of your Facebook account changing or something, or they just changed overnight, I think, this weekend. Where
scam, probably.
Sorry?
It's one of those scams.
Well, I don't know if it's false news or not, but it was something to do with the privacy of the content that you've published on your Facebook page now being in the public domain. Just tell me what that's all about, Linda. What's happened there?
Well, it basically means that they've got ownership of everything that's on their platform, so they can use it if they want to. So, for example, if somebody's single and you've got an advertiser out there who's looking for single people, they can target you. And, I mean, you know, I just literally looked it up because you said you were going to ask me, so I thought I'd better get this right. Mm. And what they're doing is they're using the things that people have got on their Facebook page to decide for their advertisers whether they're good to advertise to or not.
Right.
So if you know that the way that Google works at the moment, if you went in and searched for shed, you'll keep getting sheds pop up in front of you and you have to clear your cookies.
Retargeting ads, yeah.
That's it. Well, that's sort of all they're doing. Okay. So I don't think it's anything sinister, really.
No. Have they been doing that? Surely they've been doing that anyway, haven't they?
They probably have been. They've rewritten all the social media and they're basically saying to people, if you don't want it to happen, then you've got to change to privacy.
Uh-huh.
But for businesses, what's the point of being... What's the point of being private?
Everyone see you, don't you, really?
I think the gist of the post that I saw, guys, was it was somebody that was concerned about their private images potentially being lifted from their Facebook page and used in some kind of, you know, context or other.
Well, that's been done in the past.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, they have the right to do that.
Yes, that was the key thing, I think. So say, I don't know, you'd taken a picture of yourself at a, I don't know, at the Victoria Falls or something with your wife, and then that image was used by Facebook for a marketing campaign.
For the Victoria Falls?
For whatever, you know, for a travel company or whatever. Then I think they, you know, the gist of it was that they had the right to use any content that you had published on their platform.
That's right. You've given them. Yeah.
Which, you know, I guess it would make a lot of people quite uncomfortable, wouldn't it?
Mm.
But the likelihood of them doing that is pretty slim.
Yes.
It's like a lot of things that go on. I mean, let's face it, we were meant to have had 10 inches of snow last week. Mm. You know, I think so many people can make so much hype about one thing that really, let's face it, they're probably not going to use it. What does Zuckerberg want to use, you know, a photograph of me for? He's got no reason to do it, and I don't think it's anything worth worrying about, to be honest.
And if it's that sensitive, why publish it in the first place?
Well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Because I would have thought the bigger problem was if there was a photograph taken of somebody at Niagara Falls with someone else's wife. that's where the thing comes. Well, trust me, it's happened. I've seen it.
He knows.
I've seen it done, and it pops up, and you're not supposed to be there. I thought you was on a sales course in Birmingham.
Okay, good. So we don't need to get unduly worried by any of that, then, Linda.
I don't think so. No. I'm not.
Okay. You're doing what you say you're doing.
Because, you know, I've seen on the back of that, you know, some people saying they were coming off Facebook, you know.
Yes, I've seen that as well.
And they were giving it a rest to see how it sort of all of that panned out.
Well, I saw a big thing on Sunday night from someone saying, you know, I do not give Facebook permission to use any of my things. They actually put in statements on there.
Yes, and they were encouraging you to... copy and, as you say, Brian, paste it onto your profile, whether or not that would have any...
Don't think it makes a jot of difference.
How would you even know if your content had been, if your images had been lifted and were being used somewhere anyway, unless you happen to be on that?
They do it all the time. Mm. People who want to hide behind someone or something will find a way of doing it, and that's just the way of the world. I mean... Fishing on the dating game, the amount of people who have had their photographs lifted from Facebook and then put on dating sites when they're happily married, you know, someone goes in, sees a picture of them on Facebook, thinks, oh, that's a great picture, I'll use that and say that's me.
Yeah,
go on, use it. Mm. That's been going on for years.
Some 27-year-old Italian male model, this is me, and I'm a 74-year-old, 26 stone.
But that's not even Facebook. That's just some random person going on there and just picking the picture off, you know.
All right. Good. Well, look, Linda, it's been fascinating having you on.
Thank you.
I totally buy into the, you know, the kind of the whole advocacy of getting more and more small business owners kind of onto a platform to start with. And get them used to kind of to thinking in that way and promoting their business. And I think, you know, what they need to realise, a lot of people, is that if they're not promoting their business actively in the marketplace, then, you know, they're missing a trick. And you know, it needs to start with them rather than...
Yeah, it does. And just think, you know, the perfect balance takes some achieving, but just think a little bit, I think, about what you're promoting out there, who you're promoting out there, and how often. Just give a little bit of thought to that.
They need to take a leaf out of some of the youngsters' books as well. I mean, my daughter is writing in her journal on Facebook and watching TV all at the same time. So,
well, guys, we're going to need to kind of rein the show in and wrap it up if we can.
That's a shame.
I could have talked for or listened to Linda talking for another hour about all of that. It certainly put my mind at ease anyway in terms of what's been out there on Facebook this weekend and the kind of the scaremongering and everything else. Brian, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
2 weeks' time on Monday the 18th of February.
Monday the 18th of Feb. So lots of Valentine's Day stories.
Post-Valentine's.
To share
extra
then.
Extra special no love doubt. In that one will be.
But in the meantime, we're going to play you out with another little bit of tunage. So thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye for now.
Spin round. you ever stop?